Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. But tonight, Jeremiah chapter number 8, and I'm glad you're here. I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you for taking time out of your life to come tonight to the house of God. Tomorrow night's the last night. If you want to invite somebody, you got to do it tomorrow. Once you see somebody saved, you got to pray extra hard tomorrow. Jeremiah chapter number 8. G. Campbell Morgan was a great Bible teacher. He read the entire Bible through 62 times. He had tremendous crowds wherever he went. But Campbell Morgan said this. There was one verse in the Bible, every time he read it, caused the hair on the back of his neck to stand on end and set a shudder down his spine. He called it the most gripping verse in the Bible. Look at your Bible, please. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse number 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. If tonight somehow we journey down and stand outside the gates of hell, echoing out from behind those gates, we hear these words, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. On judgment day, the great choir of the damned will sing in unison, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That verse breaks up into three tremendous thoughts. Number one, first of all, there is an exhortation. Follow me, please. It starts out by saying, the harvest is past. Thank God tonight that's not true. Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're white under harvest. Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What is that harvest? The harvest of lost people coming and finding Jesus Christ. Now the question is, how do you and I as Christians reach unsaved people? First of all, my friend, by the life that we lead, understand that. The Bible says this, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Understand that. How you live could glorify God. How you live can cause people to come and receive Christ as their Savior. That's a Bible doctrine. A third grade boy went to Sunday school, and his Sunday school teacher said, well, fellas, why do you reckon God calls me a Christian? Third grade boy said, sir, probably because they don't know you. I like that. I do. You see, my friend, if we're saved, people ought to know it. If we're saved, we ought to show it. The people ought to know it. That's pretty good. I just thought of that. What a poet I am tonight. Okay, anyway. But it's true, friend. Unsaved people ought to know that we're born again. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. There it is. The power of God unto salvation. When Christians live right, act right, and talk right, it brings people to Jesus Christ. Many years ago, before Russia had some sort of liberties, there was only one church in all Russia that preached the gospel. That was the First Baptist Church of Moscow, Russia. And it was an unusual church. In Russia, you could not have revival meetings. In Russia, you could not go out and knock on a door. In Russia, you could not share your faith with a coworker or a neighbor. In Russia, the only way you could get saved, you saw something so dynamic, so powerful in the life of someone you work with, you had to take the initiative, go to them, and say, why? Why are you different? Man, do we have to put the heat on us today in America? And it should, okay? But anyway, the First Baptist Church of Moscow, Russia. In 1 year, they baptized 129 people. That's good. You want to know something better? Out of 129 people they baptized that year, before their conversion to Christ, 102 were professing atheists. Friend, don't tell me how you live doesn't matter. How you live is powerful. How you live makes an impact. In the home, on the job, in the church. God help us to live for Jesus Christ. First of all, we reach the harvest by the life that we live. Number two, we reach the harvest, here we go, by the use of our lips. Turn your Bible, please, to the book of Ezekiel. You're in Jeremiah. Then you'll find Lamentations. Then the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 2. Let me quote a verse to you before we go there. Ezekiel 36, here's what God said. Then the heathen which are among you. Say, Brother Mark, that describes my neighbors. They live like heathen. Brother Mark, where I work, they live like heathen. Well, your Bible says, then the heathen which are among you shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you, before their eyes. What a statement. God said even atheists will come and be saved. Heathen will come and get saved. Big time sinners come and get saved. When God's people live as they ought to live, God promises hardened sinners will flee their wrath to come and come and find Christ as their Savior. First of all, an exhortation to live for God. Number two, an exhortation to use our lips for God. Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, Ezekiel is a prisoner of war, taken away from his home country to another country. Ezekiel chapter 2, God comes and speaks to Ezekiel. Look in your Bible. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 4, the last phrase. God said, they shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. God comes to Ezekiel and said, okay, Ezekiel, here we go. Listen, open your mouth. Tell them, share with them, witness to them. Look in your Bible again, please. Ezekiel chapter 2, look at verse number 7. Again, God says to Ezekiel, thou shalt speak my words unto them. Again, Ezekiel said, come on, get out there, witness, come on, try. Again, look at your Bible, verse number 1 of chapter 3. What he said to me, son of man, eat thou findest. Eat the roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. The third time, he said, come on, get out there, open your mouth, witness, tell them. How can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They can't. It's not hard for unsaved people to get saved, not hearing the gospel. It's impossible for unsaved people to get saved unless they know how to get saved. You say, I'd like to see my family saved. Have you told them how? Why did you see my best friend saved? And you told him how? Again, look in your Bible. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 4. You said to me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. The fourth time, he said, get out there and witness. Again, look in your Bible. Verse number 11. Go get thee into the captivity of the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, twice in one verse, thus saith the Lord God. Now watch it. Six times God tells Ezekiel, get out there and witness. Come on. Get out there and go soul winning. Now what is Ezekiel's response to God's command? I'm sorry. It's much like our response to God's command. Look in your Bible. Look down, please. Ezekiel chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. And I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv. They dwelt by the river Chebar. And I sat where they sat and remained among them astonished, among them 7 days. Ezekiel went, he sat there for 7 days. He didn't warn, he didn't witness, he didn't tell. Watch that! God didn't put a period there, buddy. Look in your Bible, verse number 16. Come to pass at the end of 7 days. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. What did God say there? You and I feel to warn friends, neighbors, co-workers on judgment day, for they're cast into hell, their blood will drip from our hands. Paul said that. Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men. It's a serious thing when you and I fail to witness. Many years ago, Dr. R.A. Torrey, a great evangelist, way around the world preaching, had a song leader named Charles Alexander. Sometimes the choir, get this, sometimes on those crusades, the choir would be 5,000 or 6,000 people just in the choir. And great crowds. And so, but Alexander also was a tremendous personal soul winner. They were in London, England, and one day Alexander went down to a restaurant. He was shown to a seat, he sat down, he looked up, saw a young waiter coming toward the table. He said, the Spirit of God tapped him on the shoulder and said, witness to that young man. Young man came and brought water and gave a menu. And I said, if I will, he'll come back to take my order, then I'll witness to him. Time passed, the young man came back, and Alexander gave the order again. He said he could feel the Spirit of God striving, witness to that young man. He didn't do it. Pretty soon, The man brought the food out. Again, the third time, the Holy Ghost said, witness to him, witness to him. Alexander was a great personal soul winner. For some reason, he didn't witness. Finished the meal. Young man came, brought the bill. They talked a while. Alexander said never in his life had he felt such urgency to witness, but he didn't do it. He went up, paid the bill, left, walked down the street a block and said, I blew it. Turned around and walked back in the restroom. The man met him. He said, sir, I'd like to talk to that tall waiter. He said, it's impossible. He said, sir, what I have is very important. Let me talk to him for 15 minutes. I'll pay his salary for the whole night. It's very important. The master said, sir, you were just in here. Yes, sir. You sat right there. Yes, sir. He said, sir, you're the last person that boy ever talked to. Had all kinds of trouble. After he cleaned the dishes off your table, he went upstairs, stepped in the closet, closed the door, took the derringer out of his pocket, cocked the derringer, put it to his head, pulled the trigger, and committed suicide. He said, mister, you're the last person that man ever talked to. When I read that story, a thought hit me. Every sinner in hell right now, there was one last time they talked to a Christian. I wonder, what did they talk about? There's somebody you want to see saved. The Bible tells you when. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, my friend, it's so selfish. It's so sad. See, you heard the gospel one time. You got saved. Why? Well, preacher, I'm not going to gamble about going to hell. You would not gamble with your soul. God have mercy. You'll gamble with somebody else's soul. Shame on us. May God go deep in our hearts tonight. And drive us out that door. Maybe just stop on the way home. Pick up the phone when we get home. And reach out to try and bring someone to Jesus Christ. Use our lips for God. Number one, an exhortation. Number two, an expiration. Now look in your Bible again. Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. Now, I live in Illinois. Illinois, we have farms that are thousands of acres that grow corn and beans. Now, when it's harvest time, man, the farmers are out there in their combines about 24 hours a day. They run them and run them and run them till the harvest is in. Why? Now, my friend, in some things it's true. Harvest time does not last forever. Down in Florida, when that fruit is ripe, it has to come off. Other places, when certain crops are ripe, it has to come off. If it lays there, it will rot. What's the point here? He said, look at it again, 8:20. The harvest is past. The summer's ended. Please hear me. God can save anybody. Is that Bible? Sure it is. Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. In the history of the world, not one time did any sinner ever come to God and was refused by God. God can save anybody. Watch it. God can save anybody anywhere. Read your Bibles. Zacchaeus got saved in a tree. A man got saved in a chariot. Thank God tonight, if you're not saved, before you walk out that door, you can say, I know I'm going to heaven. Why? I've received Christ. God can save anybody, anybody, anywhere. Read your Bible carefully. God does not save people just any time. I've been told I'll get saved when I'm good and ready. That's a lie. You'll go to hell. Only time a person has a desire to get saved, the Bible says, is when the Holy Spirit speaks to his heart. Jesus said, no man cometh except the Father draw him. Your Bible says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. God said, my Spirit will not always strive with man. What are you saying, preacher? Tonight as I preach, God may touch your heart. God may tap you on the shoulder. God may say, friend, come on, you need to get saved. Now, if you don't do it tonight, I'm sorry, you may never hear the voice of God again. My Spirit will not always strive with men. Understand that. The only being between you and hell tonight is not this preacher. It's the Holy Spirit of God. You say, preacher, why would Christ just stop convicting? When you say, I don't want to get saved, the Bible says, you're guilty of three, now watch them, three horrible sins. Number one, you're guilty, the Bible says, of despising the Holy Ghost. The one that's trying to get you saved, you say, leave me alone, I'm not going to listen, I'm not getting saved. Your Bible says when you say, I don't want to get saved, don't miss this, spiritually, not to God, you're guilty of trampling on the body of Jesus Christ. Number three, you say, I don't want to get saved. The Bible says you're guilty here of splashing through the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll leave spiritually bloody footprints all the way through the gates of hell. Now, wait a minute, Steve. You say, preacher, see, that's why God stopped speaking. If you were God, how long would you put up with that? Somebody trampling on your son, spitting in his face, running through his blood. Hey, if it was your son, how long would you put up with that? There comes a time when God gets tired of people spitting in the face of God, trampling on his body, splashing through his blood, and God said, that's it, and you might live 20 years. You'll never have a desire to come to Jesus Christ. I was preaching in Tennessee. And I preached Sunday night. I came back where I was a couple visiting. Just a couple that was strikingly attractive. The young man, the young lady, when a young man, he was probably probably close to 60. Good looking guy. Very affluent. Looked exactly like my identical twin brother. Hey man, you know. Yeah. But anyway, there he was. And his wife was a beautiful woman. And I preached that night. He listened real intent. Afterward, a gentleman come up and said, that couple on the back row. I said, yes sir. Let me tell you about him. I said, okay. He said, that guy's my best friend. He said, here in Campbellsville, Kentucky, at one time, we had a big, huge Fruit of the Loom underwear company that employed thousands of people. Therefore, I'll deal with that briefly. But anyway, he said, he employed thousands. He said, that guy was hit over the whole thing. When they shut the plant down, he said, that guy got millions of dollars. He said, now here's the deal. If a big factory gets in trouble and needs some money temporarily, they call him. That's not only $10 million. The rate is 8% a month. And sometimes a big factory gets in trouble and they'll pay it. He said, that guy's a multimillionaire. He said, but afterward he come to me, he said, you know, I like that preacher. He was a brilliant man also. He said, no, I like that preacher. He said, I'm going to tell you something. That message he's going to preach on Wednesday night, I'm coming back to hear it. I said, I'll pray for him. Wednesday night, him and his wife come back, sat in the back. I preached that night, had them bow their head. I said, okay, not sure you're saved. When I pray for you, raise your hand. He went just like that. Nine people raised their hand to get saved. I said, okay, we'll sing tonight. You want to get saved? Come with y'all, brother, pastor down here. We started singing. Folks started coming. The man didn't come. I closed the invitation. The pastor closed in prayer. As soon as he said, amen, I saw that man. He got in the aisle, come down front. He was sweating. He was shaking. He said, sir, I got to talk to you. Right now, I got to talk to you. I said, okay. Went in the room and closed the door. He said, I got to tell you something. He said, 30 years ago, I was in a service like this, and God spoke to my heart. I told God, no, not tonight. He said, mister, this is the first time in 30-some years God spoke to my heart. Can I still get saved? I said, sir, if God spoke to your heart, you can get saved. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. You trample on Christ tonight. It might be the last time you trample on Christ. This might be God's last call. I said that. I didn't ask him. He just fell to his knees. I knelt down beside him, and he got saved. Don't presume on the grace of God. My spirit will not always strive with man. That's Bible. If tonight, I want to plead with you. You have the slightest desire to get saved. If you have to, climb over a pew. If you have to, put somebody out of the way. But tonight, get down here and make the greatest decision you'll ever make to accept Jesus Christ. Number one, an exhortation. Number two, an expiration. I've heard it. I'll get saved when I'm good and ready. No, you won't. Again, the only time you have that desire, it's when the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart. Number three, an exclamation. Look in your Bible. Jeremiah 8:20, an exclamation, the saddest exclamation in the Bible, The harvest is past. The summer is ended. Here it is. And we are not saved. Now please hear me. Nobody goes to hell to blame God for that. Bible says when Jesus Christ fell on the cross, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a crown of thorns hammered in his head as he hung there. Now watch it carefully. Because he was God's son, he was sinless. He did not have to die because he was sinless. But you and I are sinners, and the Bible says because we're sinners, we must die. But on the cross, because Christ was sinless, as he hung there, he bore your sin and my sin and the sin of the entire world. Bible, who his own self, what's it? That means alone. What does that mean? Christ did enough by himself. It's not Christ plus baptism. It's not Christ plus church membership. It's not Christ plus morality. I'm going to tell you about it. Jesus did the job alone. And you add something to what Jesus Christ did, you don't have salvation, you got damnation on your way to hell. It's trusting Christ alone that saves. And my friend, that's the purpose of this. On the cross, he made it possible, thank God, possible for you to be saved. Does that mean you go to heaven? No. You make a personal decision to invite him into your heart to be your Savior. Back to that verse. Whosoever, that means anybody, that includes you, shall call on the name of the Lord, shall be... I know I'm going to heaven tonight. 16 years old. Church camp. Heard a guy preach. Back to my cabin. Hopped in the bed. Man, as I lay in bed that night, a verse the preacher said got a hold of me. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Man, that hit me. I thought, man, there's nothing I have to do to go to hell. I'm lying here condemned. If I die right now, I wind up in anyone. Teenager's favorite position, flat on my back in bed. I just closed my eyes and said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for me. Right here, right now, I accept you as my Savior. And I got saved right there in bed. How? Baptism? No. Church membership? No. Receiving Christ, Bible. He that hath the Son hath life. Have you received the Son? How sad to go to hell in spite of the provision that God made. How awful to go to hell. In fact, on the cross, Christ suffered your hell. Why do you want to suffer? He already has. It's so foolish to go to hell. Number one, in spite of God's provision. Number two, in spite of God's pleading. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. The 1800s, the greatest preacher was Dwight L. Moody. They did not find an auditorium so big, he did not fill it every single night. Now watch this. Sometimes for 6 months. You said, boy, it's tough to come to revival every night. You ought to live back then, buddy. 6 months, every night, revival. Yeah. But Dwight L. Moody was a great preacher. And he was preaching in Chicago. He stood up, announced his text. As they found the text, he looked around. On the front row was a young man, early 20s. He sat there 9 nights in a row. At the invitation, 9 nights in a row, that young man raised his hand. He was not saved, but never come to accept Christ. Night number 10, Dwight L. Moody preached, probably a crowd of about 12,000 people there. He said, okay, if you're not sure you're saved, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand up high. He said, probably 400 people raised their hand. The first time he saw was that young man's. So he said, okay, I'm going to pray. He prayed for him. We're singing a song. Want to get saved? You come down front. Somebody will take you a Bible, will take you aside and show you how to get saved. They start singing, hundreds come down the aisle. Hundreds. That young man did not respond. Dwight L. Moody asked a pastor to close in prayer. Moody got his Bible, slipped off the platform, went down, stood with that young man. When the man finished praying, he turned to him and said, son, you're not a Christian, are you? He said, no, sir. He said, son, could I have the privilege to open the Bible and show you how to get saved? He said, Mr. Moody, wow, I'd be honored. He said, okay, just sit down here. Will you open the Bible? Show the boy four things. I like that. Thank God if you can count to four, you can stay out of hell. He showed him, first of all, he was a sinner. Number two, because of his sin, he was condemned, heading for hell. Number three, Moody explained to him, when Christ hung on the cross, he made it possible for him to be saved. And number four, to be a Christian, he had to invite Jesus Christ into his heart to be his Savior. When he said, now, son, let's just bow our heads here. You pray and receive Christ. I said, wait, Moody. I know I need to get saved. He said, if I got saved, the guys I work with, they'd laugh at me. Moody said, son, I'd rather be laughed at and go to hell. He said, no, wait, Moody. I got it all figured out. The boss came to me about a week ago. Someone would be transferred to Indiana. He said, Moody, the first Sunday I'm in Indiana, I'm going to find a Bible preaching church. I'm going to go there and walk down the aisle and get saved. About 3 months went by. Dwight L. Moody walked down the streets of Chicago. Look, it was him. Moody crossed the street. Hey, my friend, how you doing? Okay. Hey, son, let me ask you. Do you ever receive Christ? He said, Moody, I didn't lie to you. Since I was in Indiana, he said, for 7 weeks. Every Sunday morning I went to church to preach a priest. I raised my hand. I just never stepped out and received Christ. Moody said, son, listen to me. One of my best friends lives around the corner, above a business. Let's go up there right now. I'll pray with you, help you receive Christ. He said, not now, Moody, and he walks on down the street. About 3 years go by. Brother Moody went to the hospital to visit, goes in the room, reads the Bible and prays. He looks. It's that young man. Moody walked over and said, son, how you doing? He said, okay. He said, son, you know the question. Have you ever received Christ? He said, Moody, I thought about that 1,000 times since I've been here. It goes through my mind. Receive Christ. Receive. Moody said, good. Give me your hand. I'll pray. Not now. Said, Moody, I made up my mind. The first Sunday I'm out of here, I'm coming down to your church. I'll be the first one down. It never happened. And it never happens. From the first meeting,
yeah, that's right.
6 years go by. Brother Moody is having supper. He opens the door. A messenger boy has the message. Message says, a man is dying at a certain address. Come quickly. A few blocks down the street, Moody got his Bible, walked down, found the house, went up and knocked on the door. Lady opened the door. He said, ma'am, I'm Dwight. She said, I know who you are. I understand a young man's dying. She said, it's my son. Can I talk to him? If you want to waste your time, go ahead. Moody had his Bible, walked up a flight of stairs, walked out a hallway. He turned, saw the young man lying on the bed. He started to walk in. The young man looked at him. Dwight L. Moody said that young man fixed his eyes on him and said, Moody, get out! He said, you've come to mock me. He said, time and time again, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Time and time again, I told him, no! He said, Moody, 3 doctors stood right where you're standing. They told me by tomorrow morning, at most, I'll be dead. He said, Moody, I'm positive when I die, I'm going to hell. He said, the thing is this, I don't have the slightest desire to get saved. Dwight L. Moody opened his Bible, quoted promise after promise, looked down. The young man was in a coma. The great man of God got a chair, pulled it over, sat down by the bed and prayed and prayed. He gave that young man one more chance to get saved. Brother Moody said, just as the sun was going down, he looked over. He could just barely see the boy's lips moving. The great man of God stood up, leaned down, put his ear against the young boy's lips. In just a whisper, here's what he heard. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And I am not saved. I am not saved. And while the Moody said, all of a sudden he screamed and dropped into hell. Why? He said, I'm going to trample on God one more time. And God said, that's the last time. If you want to get saved, God tells you the date. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Nobody ever made reservations in hell. Don't make the same mistake. Will you bow your head?